Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Final hour of the day here on this Wednesday. Five on it coming up in just a moment. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street.
I asked you that yesterday.
You did. I didn't have an answer for you.
And Chris ain't got no tips for us.
Yeah.
That's all right. But we about to get it cracking, son!
Oh, that's right. That's going to show up on Five on it, but it is the expansion draft.
Hey, Chris, your piece of memorabilia, what would you like?
Of the Kraken. The team,
nothing.
The hockey
nothing
team of
for
the show.
You. Nothing for you, and you'll like it.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah, I got Jay. Jay and I are both on board. We are adopting the Kraken.
Nope. Keep your mic off. You said nothing. You're going to get nothing, and you'll like it.
I will like it.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, do you want this trash? No. No, thank you.
Oh, easy, Star. Easy.
In 15 to 20 years, will they still have the same name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one works.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I do.
Because when I think Seattle, I think mythical, stupid octopus.
Nobody cares what you think. How about that?
We could do that with a lot of teams' names.
Yeah. Luckily, we have Five on it coming up, Chris. Yeah. So I'd really dig into you.
Can you dig it?
And I missed.
All right. It is that time for Five on it.
Own it.
I got five on it. I got five. A look at the top five at five. A spin around the nation to hear five stories. Five people, five opinions. This is I Got Five on It.
All right, five on it today. Lots of news to cover. We will check in with hockey. The Seattle Kraken expansion draft going on. We'll hear from Chris Paul. We got some very latest news on Bobby Bowden. We'll hear from Jalen Rose, but let's start you out with some college football news. Matt Mershell, national college football reporter for the Orlando Sentinel, back with us here on Five on It. Matt, let's start with some, I guess there's some rumors, some whispers out there about University of Texas and Oklahoma, two power schools, but could they in the future be in the SEC? What's going on with this?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a surprise, but it was surprising news today that, you know, that apparently a report came out that Texas and Oklahoma had reached out to the SEC about possibly, you know, joining the league at some point. You know, this is something that kind of was brought up, you know, back in 2014 when there was talk of conference realignment. So, you know, pretty much everyone has kind of said that it's no comment at this point. They don't want to comment about it, but this could start the rumors of the flames fire of this idea of, you know, we could see another round of conference realignment of some big schools moving around.
Matt, does it even matter anymore because the players are going to be getting paid? I was looking at different stuff. They were saying maybe $1 million quarterback. The ability to now financially take care of the players, are the conferences still going to have the type of cachet that they had in the past?
You know, I think they will. I mean, if you look at the SEC is one of the premier brands in college athletics, especially in college football. You know, I mean, it's up there with the Big Ten. Those are the two leaders. So, you know, I think having your school tied in with one of those conferences is something that can, you know, really be beneficial, especially if you're a player, because your brand is going to be out there. And you look at the fact that the SEC has its own network, its branded network. The Big Ten has a branded network. So if you're Oklahoma and Texas, you know, even though you have a TV deal with ESPN, you don't have that necessarily individual 24-hour-a-day network. So there's except for the Texas Longhorn Network, which has its own. But there's going to be opportunities there. And I think, you know, if the SEC is interested in expanding, if they feel like this is the next big move for them, you know, maybe that's where they go. I'm not sure if just Texas and Oklahoma would be the only schools going, or if there'd be some other schools from the Big 12 that might have to be talked in the deal as well.
Matt, if we allow ourselves to think of it, though, UT and Oklahoma in the SEC, would that work in your mind?
You know, I think it would, although I think, you know, at this point, based on what we've seen the last couple of years, Oklahoma's probably the better of the two deals right now. But Texas has its own brand. Both these teams are blue-blood brands. So adding it as well, I think would be interesting is throwing these into a mix with the Alabamas, the Floridas, the Georgias. Where do they kind of fit in there as well? And do you continue to have divisions? I mean, you know, there was talk of – you know, some of these conferences are talking about eliminating divisions if we go to a proposed 12-team expansion for the playoffs. So You know, again, adding these two teams might, you know, if you get rid of divisions, it might make things a little more interesting. But I definitely think, you know, we thought conference realignment might be kind of done for a while. But, you know, with playoff expansion talk, with NIL, those kind of things, maybe we're going to start to see a little bit more of that pick up a little bit.
Matt, where do you stand on the playoffs? We saw four, thought it'd go to eight. Now we're seeing 12. How do you look at the college playoff and where it might go in the future?
Yeah, you know, I think 12 seems to be where everyone wants to be at right now. You know, I know a lot of the conferences are looking at proposals right now. I spoke to a lot of coaches today at the ACC Football Media Day that said, you know, listen, they got a first opportunity to look at it. They look at, you know, they think 12 might work for them. You know, but there's also some people who aren't big fans of it. There, I talked to North Carolina quarterback Sam Howell. He said he'd prefer 4 or 6. He thought 12 was too much. It was allowing just everybody to get in and play. So, and Dabo Sweeney, you know, Clemson coach, has kind of said he's not in favor of that as well. But again, if you're Clemson, why would you be in favor? You've been in there every year for pretty much the whole existence of the playoffs. So I think most of the time, I think people would like to see that happen. There's going to be some form of expansion. I think 12 kind of, and the plan they have kind of fits. It's just more working out the details of how many games would that be. And do players want to have the possibility of playing as many as 16 to 17 games in a season?
All right, Matt, last thing. Coach Sanders, Coach Dion, why is he freaking out about not being called coach?
I don't know. I think this is Dion making some waves at an event, hoping to draw some interest in his program. I mean, I've been covering college athletics for a very long time, and you know, most of the time I refer to a coach by their first name, and coaches don't seem to care about that. Nick Saban, I know Dion said that you don't call Nick Saban, you know, Nick. Well, I hate to tell him that. Today, when Nick Saban spoke at the SEC Media Days, he was called Nick about 8 or 9 times, apparently. So it's just what, you know, what reporters do. I know people say, well, there's a respect factor. Yes, I think, you know, as a coach, you want to get respect of your players. You want to get respect of your fans. I don't necessarily know in regards to media. You know, I look at you're just a person. You're not my coach. I mean, so that's why I refer to you as your first name. I just think this is a little bit of Dion trying to make some waves. I feel bad for the SWAC a little bit because this forces them on the defensive when they're really wanted to promote what a big addition Dion was to the conference.
All right, Matt, appreciate that college football insight there, Matt Mershell. Let's go to topic number two here, Doug. Former NBA players, colleagues, maybe friends as well, having some fun on ESPN's Get Up show this morning. Let's hear Jalen Rose talking about and talking to and clowning, basically, Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, boy.
Now, you did a great job covering this year's NBA Finals, but you know what happens, Greeny? Young folks like this that's been doing this job like 5 years, they get one or two things right. They get one or two catchphrases. Then they come over here with their Dr. Seuss lines, wearing their 80s pastor suits, and think all of their takes are going to be hot. So let me tell you a couple of things that I heard Perk say about this series. Didn't he just slander Coach Bud the entire year about not making adjustments? Hey, Perk, the number one adjustment this year was giving the ball to Middleton the last couple of minutes of a game. Jrue Holiday isn't the best two-way player in the NBA. Last night, you saw the best two-way player in the NBA. That's actually Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Chris Middleton is not Batman. That happens to be the Greek Freak. And don't try to flip it and say, oh, now he's Superman. You can just say that take was off. By the way, what happened to your guy DeAndre Ayton? Let me finish. What happened to your guy DeAndre Ayton? Is he still David Robinson? I didn't see him. Is he still David Robinson? Are the Suns still a dynasty? I don't see that with a 36-year-old point guard. So, again, it's great to come over here and talk really loud and have all of the catchphrases, but you were so very dead wrong about the Bucks as a guy that said that Giannis should leave Milwaukee. You said Giannis should leave Milwaukee. He stayed. He stayed, and he delivered.
Okay. Ooh. Shots fired.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I mean, listen.
And maybe some of it's fun, but certainly shots fired.
It's fun, but How many times can we go back and look at the take? We're not always right. That's kind of right. It's just not. It's not what happens. I think he's more or less getting on Perk also, because Perk, one thing that you can, whatever you want to say about him, he draws a line in the sand and he just, this is where I'm at, and he rides with it. Was he wrong some of the time? Yeah, he was.
So was Jalen, right? Yeah, everybody is who's on the air.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Man, he went at him.
He did.
Okay.
Call him with the pastor suit.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
He got it cracking.
Speaking of that, we're going to have more on that coming up in just a moment, because your city's putting on a show for that expansion draft.
Oh, you just mean the ambiance of looking at our beautiful city?
That too.
You see Lenny Wilkins on there?
So Lenny Wilkins, Ooh, Sean Kemp,
yes.
GP. Lots of good stuff.
Are you
there
with me?
I am with you. All right, let's go to our next topic here. We bring in our very own Carmichael Dave. Dave, we usually like to have you on more of an uplifting story, but some news here today, finding out about Bobby Bowden, a terminal medical condition. You are the biggest fan we know of Florida State, and I know how much you think about Bobby Bowden with reverence and so on. So how did that news hit you today?
Oh, it was a ton of bricks, and it was – you know, my mother and I were actually just texting about it. For those who don't know, my mom and dad went to Florida State. They met at Florida State. My dad proposed to her at Florida State. And growing up, you know, I've met alumni before, but for me, I've been a Florida State fan my whole life because I was in a Florida State onesie. And Bobby Bowden and Florida State football are synonymous. And just growing up, not only just watching the success of the team, but also reading about Bobby and his wife and his family, and the imagery of Bobby in his hat with the guards on either side of him walking towards Steve Spurrier in the visor for their rivalry games, and just really the way he was such a magician in homes during recruits. Bobby was always, has always been kind of a figure in my life, and any other FSU fan, much like some of our, your Bear Bryants of the world, and now your Nick Sabans. But Bobby almost is a mythical, legendary figure to many of us. So to hear it today was pretty devastating.
As I read this, there's a point right here. I was going Charlie Ward, but I'll back off of Charlie. And Bobby Bowden was once polled in Northern Florida as being more popular than God. Is this true?
It was. Yeah, Jesus. He actually, I think it was a newspaper or something that was trying to make a point. Somebody said, I think it was like the old Lennon quote about being more popular than Jesus. So they ran a poll, and Bobby won pretty handily. And you're talking about Tallahassee, the Bible Belt, the Panhandle. It wasn't just the team. You know, Florida State was a women's school as late as, I believe, the 50s, and they then integrated. And he really did kind of help build that. You know, he started out of Birmingham, but built that franchise, that powerhouse for so long as the winningest coach in college football history, but also a very devout man, very charitable man, and a person that, much like you hear some of the legends in Green Bay, was listed in the phone book forever. People would leave footballs and helmets on his doorstep in Tallahassee, and they'd come back the next day and find him signed. Wow. And you kind of see from the success. And Doug, you went through this when you were going to school and you ended up at Pepperdine. I'm sure the whole recruiting process, when kids are leaving home for the first time, you want them turned over to those that will take care of them.
True.
Bobby'd go into those living rooms, and parents would lovingly pass their children off to him, and he'd kind of help finish them off in a way.
You know, Dave, I know your connection to the school, your love for him, your love for Florida State. I don't know any other way to put this, but the rest of your life, like that, you'll always probably refer to like Bobby Bowden as your football coach of your program. There's been other coaches since him, and there'll be more to come, and maybe, I don't know if anyone will ever have that kind of success, but I don't know for you, all your formidable years and years of following, no one could probably ever replace that like Bobby Bowden, huh?
No, absolutely not. And it's generational, but for Bobby, it spanned many generations. And it's not just about Bobby. It's what Bobby, you know, to a lot of us, Bobby represents you know, me sitting on the couch with my dad and watching those games growing up as a, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old. And Bobby's a representation of shared family experiences, and it almost becomes the culture. It's not just Bobby. Listen, Bobby's 91. Bobby's lived a full life. Bobby didn't get cheated. And when Bobby passes, God willing, peacefully, you know, he's going to do it with a smile on his face, I'm sure, as will his family. But as always with these situations, whether it's somebody like Bobby or, you know, when Kobe passed, I often try to make these connections. It's our own mortality. It's pieces of our childhood or pieces of important parts of our life that we see pass. And it reminds us that even our superheroes are mortal. And there weren't too many people growing up outside of maybe Will Clark and Bill Walsh that were as big a superhero as Bobby. And Bobby, to me, was the biggest of all.
Yeah, no doubt. Are you staying with Florida State? Was it tough when Bobby was fired as Florida State coach? Were you kind of, or is it just Florida State you're all in?
Yeah, you know, it's in my blood. You know, it really is. I don't exist without that school. I truly don't exist without Florida State University. My parents are both New Yorkers, and they just happened to meet down there. And when T.K. Weatherill and the rest of the Florida State admin kind of summarily dismissed Bobby because of the alumni, I was very upset. A lot of us were very, very upset. Jimbo came in, won a title. That's fine. But it was more than just winning with Bobby. It was, you know, with a couple speed bumps here and there, it was the representation of the school and making a lot of us proud. So I will be a Florida State fan regardless. You know, Christopher Laud could take over as head coach there someday, and I'd still probably begrudgingly root for them. But as Jason, Jason, you put it perfectly. Bobby is my coach. He will always be my coach, just like Roger Craig will always be my manager for the Giants. It's just something I'm sure we can all identify that we'll take with us to the grave. And I pass on stories all the time. In fact, my son was reading a book on Bobby Bowden about 3 months ago at 12 years old. It's just something we pass on from fathers and mothers to kids.
Who's your hockey team?
What's hockey?
Yeah, he's trying to get everybody on the Seattle Kraken. I am also trying to get this set up, Dave, of you versus Doug and Papa Shot. Didn't happen today. I was hoping it would.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's a no-show joke there, but I'll leave that alone. Just was hoping to see you there, Doug. And
hey, you were created at Florida State. I was going to go someplace, but out of respect for Mom and Dad, I left that alone.
Well, you know, as my dad always told me, Doug, you never really are sure, are you?
Wow.
You're never really 100%.
Oh, you guys must have a real comfortable couch at the crib, huh?
Well, the fact that they're listening right now means I'm going to get a phone call.
All right, Dave, thank you so much.
All right, fellas.
Look forward to that call. That's going to be an interesting phone call in a few moments for Carmichael Dave. All right, let's go on to our next topic here on Five on It. Let's move on to Chris Paul. They lost yesterday in the finals. They had a 2-0 lead, his first opportunity in the finals, and he was asked about what's next.
Knowing that for so long you worked to get to this point, is there any solace in, hey, I've had this experience,
no,
and I can learn from it, and I might get back here?
I mean, it'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think there will be, maybe that's after the career, some perspective on, well, he did make it to the finals. Chris Paul's never made it to the finals. He did, but there was another step, another hurdle, and they did not get over it. It's not him exclusively. And I think he's right, Doug. The answer is go back to work and try next year.
It's an athletic mindset, man. I mean, as soon as you lose and it's over, is there some pain? Yes, there's going to be scar tissue. You're going to have to deal with that. But ultimately, you didn't get the goal. So how do I get there? What do I need to do next? How can I be better? For instance, if you think about Chris Paul, he went as far as to change his diet.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be a better version of myself. Okay, skill-wise, I got handles. I can shoot the basketball. I lead. What can I do? Okay, I'll try the vegan lifestyle and diet. And I won't say diet. I'll say lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Dropped some weight, tightened up, felt like he had more energy, a lot of different things. I don't see this as anything different. He's going to evaluate what do I need to do and then have the willingness to do it.
He's got more game left. I mean, he's near the end, but he could play a couple more years.
Oh, absolutely.
His basketball IQ is great.
Yeah.
The times when he was getting to a spot, that mid-range foul line jumper, it's still money.
No doubt. This is going to be a time for him to reflect that someplace that he hadn't been before.
Yeah.
What was that experience? How did it go? How about the fact that, like football, at the end of the season, okay, line them up. You need knee, you need ankle, you need wrist, back. Well, he has to go get surgery now. That's where he's at with it. I don't think a ligament or whatever he had, that ain't healing is the point.
Yeah.
Get that done and then get right back on the bicycle.
Well, I think also, what kind of decision do you think he's making? There's already rumors the Lakers and other teams are interested in him. There's also probably that feeling of unfinished business with Phoenix. What do you think? Is Chris Paul on the Suns next year?
It depends. What type of contract are we looking for? Or is he trying to break the bank? Because someone said the Knicks. Okay, if the Knicks give him $100 million for 3 years, so that 33 and a third, is that kind of what it is that you're looking for? Or has he made enough money? And I'm sure he's had, and I'm sure he's done well with his money. To now is the time to more or less try to get that championship. He did it there in Phoenix, gave it a shot. I would say this, could he help the Lakers?
Of course.
Oh, exactly. So it's going to depend on where he's at in his life and what he's looking for. I don't think he went to Phoenix saying, I'm going to Phoenix to get a championship. I think that was the thought. But I don't – how realistic
it almost became a reality.
It almost became a reality. So can it be done there? Yeah, it is definitely possible. So I'm gonna say, yeah, he's back.
All right, our last topic here, DC, is the Kraken. The NHL expansion draft is happening right now as we speak. Quite a show up in the Seattle area. It looks beautiful up there first and foremost. But they're bringing out the big wigs, as we said earlier, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Lenny Wilkins, McLemore,
and
different people out there. And it's going on right now, and I know I've seen at least two goaltenders. They have to have three. But two of maybe the first four or five picks. So your squad is being formed as we speak.
Man, form it up. I mean, you know what? This is what I would say, and I'd say about the Kings. Why not? Why not?
Yep.
Vegas said it.
Yeah, and they did great.
They did great.
Yeah.
Did they not? These players who are on the expansion draft, if you have an eye, you put together a proper team.
They're NHL players.
They are already NHL players. It's not like you're drafting all these players out of college and what have you, and now they got to, break bread and figure it out. These guys are actually NHL players. So I'll bring your gear in. Jay, I got you. And
nothing for Chris.
He's going to get nothing in like
it. I think there would be as much of there's can be some challenges as being on an expansion team. There's some history. There'd be some fun. I mean, the city is dying to have another professional team.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to treat that hockey team with utmost.
You're going to throw a fish.
Yeah.
You think he catches it?
You better.
Okay.
And
oh, you can't. Oh.
What do you mean?
That looks like a little salmon there.
Pretty big one, though. Not that
the
little.
The good thing is, I think I'm going to start.
Hold on, Chris. Oh,
it's a long distance.
Two hand. He's going underhand. You cannot drop
there.
This, son. Attaboy!
Oh, nice catch.
Attaboy! Okay, Chris, what are you saying?
I think it's time for me to get a hockey team.
Not the Kraken?
No. God, no.
He's been thinking about this.
Maybe I should be a Vancouver Canucks fan.
Why is that?
You're right up the way.
I know. The rival?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's very much in Chris's DNA.
It is. That's all right. He looks.
I've never
like
been to
a,
Vancouver, but
he looks
I hear
like a Canuck.
I hear the great thing about Seattle is it's only an hour and a half away from Vancouver, and 2 hours away from Portland.
One day will be my last day on here, Chris.
Yeah, you'll let him have it.
I'm going to let you have it. Just hit the dump button, and I will say all the filth, flarn, filth that I want to say to you.
Should I have dumped that?
Yeah, it was close.
Phil's Farm Phil?
Russell Wilson, you know what he said?
Oh, don't. don't be.
Go Kraken.
Me and my guy Pete, best buds.
Best buds. Longtime friends. Relationships better than ever.
You need to cut that out.
He also said, I never want to leave Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Russell Wilson saying, I like all
said,
these
players.
You know,
players. I feel more comfortable now than ever here in Seattle.
Come on. Kill him.
And go crack
it. Hey, I like the hat, too, by the way. That's I like that. That's nice. Yeah, yeah. And the jersey. Chris, turn your mic off and hush.
Well, that is 5 on it. We'll come back. We've got more to get to in our final half hour right here on KHTK. Back here on KHTK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
As we continue, thank you, everyone, on 5 on it. I got something here for you, DC.
Do you?
I was on, fortunate enough to be on a, in a mock draft. The Warriors have run one. Tim Roy used to work on the station, friends with Tim Roy, Warrior announcer.
Timmy.
Conducts a kind of a mock draft. Kings were at 9. They reached out and said, sure, I'd love to take part. And then, obviously, you have to let it play out and here's what happened leading up to me, and so I kind of want to see what you would have done.
Okay.
So at number one, no surprise, Cade Cunningham. Number two was Jalen Green. So he went off the board.
Yes.
Number three, Evan Mobley.
Man, really?
And then number
four. The guy ain't came yet?
Nope. The guy I know both you and I like went fourth, Jalen Suggs.
Okay, there you go. Who's four?
If you're picking four.
Who's four?
Let me double check this because I don't want to. I feel like it is.
We got to get these teams down.
Yeah, I had it here. I don't want to get the wrong order. It is. Was that Charlotte? No, that's not Charlotte. That is. Hang on, DC.
Somebody's hollering at you right now. Full 21 draft order 1 through 60. Took you long enough. Your computer works slow. That would be Toronto.
Yeah. All right. So Detroit, again, Cade Cunningham. Houston selected Jalen Green.
Man, Toronto, that's a good pick for them.
I know. Cleveland, Mobley, then Suggs at four. Orlando, one of their two picks, they took Scottie Barnes. That's kind of where I feel like the draft starts. But I feel like the first four are seemingly locked in some sort of order.
Yeah, he's a good pick.
In this mock draft, Kuminga went 6 to OKC.
Okay.
The Warriors took Bouknight with their first of two picks in their lottery.
Okay.
And then right before me, representing Orlando, was the guy we profiled today, Moses Moody. So I was on the board with the rest.
Orlando would be winning.
The rest of the – yes, Orlando would have done what? Moody and Barnes.
Man, that's you got the wings on lockdown.
So then it was me. And I'm looking at wings. I'm looking at Davion Mitchell. A lot of wings, actually.
Yeah, I like
There's
Davion.
A lot of – you know, we talked about Franz Wagner.
Mm-hmm. Franz.
Wagner. Johnson. Keon Johnson. There were quite a few choices. But what would you have done if that was the spot you were in? And I have told you what I did.
I like your pick, especially if we're not able to come to terms with Rashawn Holmes.
Uh-huh.
But I would go Duarte out of Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So another wing, but good,
six,
talented.
6'7", I believe it is. 6'7", right in there. Small forward, can shoot the basketball, crafty.
He's put together a little bit.
Yeah.
Defensively,
mm-hmm. I like what he brings on the defensive end. A quality player, nice. You know, he's got a little basketball IQ about him. Like when I say crafty, that means that you're seeing stuff out there. So I like Duarte.
Okay. And that's a guy I thought about. Again, I said Jalen Johnson, Keon Johnson, Kispert.
And he brings a little size because otherwise, Davion Mitchell, I really like him. I like what I see in him. But you think everything that the Kings already have, you got your backcourt, and then you even got a couple people coming off the bench. You need. We need it. So if we had the 6'4 and under league, we win it.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
we need the 6'6 and above now.
And that's what I was thinking because, this may be breaking my own rule. And this is where, to me, if I was really doing this and I'm, see the guys. What's the separation? What's the difference? Because I like Davion Mitchell a lot. But then I'm thinking, okay, Fox and Haliburton are clearly the strength of your team. You still do have Buddy Hield. You will have another year of DeLon Wright. You could have Terrence Davis. Hey, if it's another talented wing or guard, take him. But with all that said, I went a little bit of maybe a reach. I don't know where I see in mock drafts he's lower than where I took him. But I'm enamored a little bit now, DC, by Texas big man Kai Jones.
I like him.
He's long. Probably right now more of a power forward than a center. I was surprised watching his video how well he shoots the ball. He's very active. Like, he's a jumper. He gets up and down the floor and can block shots. And would have to get better, like all these guys. It's not a finished product, but if you don't keep Holmes, if Bagley's not a part of the future, even if either one is a part of the future, you're still looking at depth, and I think there's a pretty high ceiling with him, and so that was my pick.
Yeah. You know, the other one is we looked at him the other day also is Franz Wagner. Depending in some of these, understand, like, I've seen Franz on TV, and the fact that he jumped out at me, I like that. Like, I was like, oh, man. I need to see him in person. Like, need to shake his hand, need to see the arm length and shoulders and that, and then watch him move around a little bit. Because if at 6'9", he's that kind of small forward-esque type of player, that's a good pick. But at this particular time, you need to continue, because the game is, even though I will say this, the last couple NBA champions have been really large. They've been big. That's a big team.
Milwaukee. Yeah.
The Lakers are a big team. Who was before that? Even Toronto, they had some big guys' wings. Like, you need to have some of that length, but not size just to have size. You need to have some talent at the same time.
Yeah. So when you saw a guy like Kai Jones, when you watched, what did you like?
I like the fact that run the floor, shot block. What jumped out at me is that jumper is – all right, it's not broke. Like, yeah. he shoots threes.
Like jab fakes like a guard.
Yes.
Like, all right, I'll rise
okay.
up.
So that lets me know, like, player development-wise, like, if he's already catching the ball, squaring his guy up, and jabbing at his feet, now you put that with some understanding of what it is that you're doing, work on the dribbling, those type of things, like catching lobs, blocking shots. He already got all that. That's in the DNA. Now it's skill development, and as I said, if – by chance, you weren't able to keep Rasant, you're going to need to fill that spot. Now, Monty McNair, I'm sure, already has a board that has a lot of different options with what's on the draft and what happens if this doesn't happen, if we don't sign that guy, if we don't. I mean, Mo Harkless, like, there's some guys that we'd like to keep and we'd like to sign. So when I look at Kai, I see a long, athletic center/power forward that can stretch the floor vertically, has a decent jump shot, and has a skill set, which that jumped out at me. I was surprised by that.
I was too. Then when I watched, I mean, wow, there's a lot here. He's fast, good athlete, gets up and down the floor. And then you also, you know, now you try to vision that is, what is that with 15 more pounds? What is that with 3 years of experience? What is that with our player development team?
Yeah.
What can he get the pick and roll offense? Can he defend the pick and roll defense? It looks like to me he can guard some guards.
Yep.
And certainly stay with big men. May get pushed around early on. So how does that look like? And to me it looks like a guy that has a pretty good ceiling. That could, you know, you wish for the best, and if you get that, like, hey, we got a gem.
So absolutely.
That's kind of what I was looking at.
And when we talk pick and rolls, like, I'm not a super big proponent of switching a 1-5 pick and roll, which I see done a lot.
It's done a lot now.
But if he gets caught, great. More along the lines of switching switchables, people who are switching. He looks to be a guy similar to Rasant Holmes that if you do have to switch off, he has the ability to keep him in front of him for a moment so we can get some help over there. And that, I think, is going to be valuable at that spot. When we think of Clint Capella, we think of Rasant Holmes, we think of some of these not necessarily super big fives, but big enough that they can hold their own in the middle, rebound the basketball for their position, and then defensively have some IQ about you, some shot-blocking ability, and I saw that in Kai.
Next time we have Monty on, I'd like to ask – this is something that's been said before. I wonder what his thought process is on
Call
this.
Call him up. Let's ask him right now.
All right. Okay. would he prefer the draft to be after free agency? I know some have been a proponent
that's
from
a good
that.
Question.
It hasn't been that way, but you might draft differently. You know, if the Kings know – they're losing Rasant Holmes, or they know they're keeping Rasant Holmes, or they've got this future trade, or this is a free agent they sign. You might do things. I mean, you should still be going best player available, but maybe.
Which way would you like it?
I didn't think of it as a problem before. I don't know if it's a problem.
I look at it as a thing, though. As you say it and I think about it, it immediately hits me, Jason, that I kind of want to know the free agents first. The reason is they are already NBA players.
Right.
And I'm looking to fill a void. Like, I am – you know how we say don't draft for need? Well, I am going to free agency with need in mind. If I'm able to service that need in free agency, now I can draft a little bit differently. That I think that's kind of what you were saying. Yeah, I'd be more along the lines of having the draft. I mean, having free agency first and then doing the draft. That'd be, I would just yeah. personally me. I like that.
One, I wonder. So let's look back at this last draft. We keep saying, man, the Kings got Tyrese at 12. Phoenix picked 10th. They took Jalen Smith, someone who we didn't see in the finals, big guy. They drafted before. They traded for Chris Paul, but. They probably, I'm sure Jones knew, like, this is what we're working on. Mm-hmm. We'd like to get Chris Paul. And at that time, if you have Chris Paul and you have campaign, you have Javon Carter, you've got Booker, like, probably don't need a guard. Let's address the big. How much would they have loved Tyrese Halliburton in the finals?
Oh, my. Listen.
So I wonder if they kind of knew, at least that was our plan. We're trying to get Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So we're going to draft differently than that. Now, if you... I don't know. It just makes you wonder if you have those decisions made already.
And I also think, and I love players like this, Tyrese is the type of player, the better the IQ of players he's playing with, he looks even better. That's why I said, like, for you, can you imagine him on USA Basketball?
Yeah.
Like, the game's easy for a guy like him because of what he sees. He's trying to give you the basketball in a position that you're going to score. And if he doesn't, then he does it himself. But that is that's a thing.
Thinking the same thing with Bogey. Bogey on the Bucks could have happened. I mean, and just probably as a bench guy. Maybe not. Maybe as a start, especially after DiVincenzo got hurt. But he would have been a huge piece of what they were doing.
Oh, boy. Man. Think he regrets that?
Well, Atlanta went way better than I thought it would. One, he got more money, but they went farther than I thought. But, yeah, I bet there's a little regret.
Yeah, because I know Trae Young was like, oh, we'll be back. Yeah.
I wouldn't pick it.
I wouldn't either. I'm not picking them past Milwaukee, and I'm definitely not picking them past Brooklyn. And I'm probably
I know they beat Philly, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but after you re-up, if you're Philly, depending on what happens with Ben Simmons, I'm not really looking at them past that. Like, they got a good thing.
But Miami, Boston, there's some East has gotten a lot better, at least the top part of the East.
Yeah, and it's not like it used to be, like Eastern Conference, and it's a style.
Yeah.
There's not really style anymore. Everybody does the same thing.
Yep.
Watch out.
We'll see. All right. We will take the break, come back. Final segment. Still the crossover as well. That's straight ahead here on KHDK. All right. Back here. Final segment. Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Hey, tomorrow, Golf to Go Golf Hour is back, 2 to 3.
Frankie, baby.
Frank will be in the house. There's words that we might be talking to Tom Morton tomorrow.
We'll
check in on how he is in instructing Doug Christie on the golf course. If Doug's game is being refined and
I'm getting
polished,
out for a play round with him.
Oh, that's good. That's smart. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, and we had this earlier. One of the times you played. The next time we play, I want to do the match play, you and I.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't care about
it's actually it's kind of fun. It's different.
It's like, oh no, I'm in trouble. I got to make this from 180 to beat Doug.
Right.
Like,
but oh, I mean no, it's a you
and you just move
shots
on.
Shots are different.
Yep.
Yeah, and then
you won the hole. Okay, move on. You're
one
up.
That's good. Or now you got to putt that.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
That's
you're going to make me. Yep. That's for the win.
For the win.
Yeah.
You know what I think you're going to be saying, Jason? Oh man, I'm all out of cash.
Very much so. Very true.
I like that.
Sort of like, oh man, I'm all out of cash.
How is it? No, it's more like what?
Ah, oh, man, I'm all out of cash.
So next time, are you good with that? We play a little match play?
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
When you're ready.
Always ready.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the Golf to Go Golf Hour is tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and then we'll have our show following that from 3 to 6.
Yeah, we follow up on the Open, too.
Yeah, last week's winner.
Colin Morikawa.
You know, we haven't had this happen in a while, DC, and you just never know when it might happen.
It's time for the Mariners Minute. Yes, 60 seconds on your baseball team, Doug.
What?
The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I'm going to
The Mariners. Mariners are a sinking ship, and we are merely witnesses as the passengers drown in the sea below. No wonder why Seattle gives more of a shit about the Sonics, and that team hasn't been around in a decade.
This is the Mariners Minute.
51-45, Jason. Nobody saw that, did they? Huh? Drop one to the Rockies yesterday after spanking them the day before.
Drop one today as well.
That was today. I'm sorry. Oh. Yesterday beat them. Today. Hey, man. We're coming along. We're young. Yeah. We're ready. Huh? You understand how these things work. Listen, if you would have told us, we're 7 games back.
You can do it.
Yes.
It can be done.
It's definitely possible. Three and a half behind the Oakland Athletics, who are 3.5 behind the Houston Astros. And...
well, you host them for 4 starting tomorrow. If you do some damage, here's your next 7, Doug. Oakland, 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 Houston, Houston, Houston.
Oh, at the end of that, we could be in first place. Did I say that out loud?
You did.
I did. I just took up my whole Mariners Minute.
But then a couple series after that, it's 4 with the Yankees, and then that's when things...
Oh, that's light work. I mean, now facing the A's, that's some work right there. Yeah. Facing the Astros, facing the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees are 49-44.
On the way up.
But
you guys do control your debt. 4 with the A's. Let's see, 3 with Houston, as I said, after that. There's another 3-game series with Houston, a 2-game with Oakland, another 3 with Houston, another 3 with Houston, 4 with Oakland, and then 3 with Oakland. I mean, you play those teams so many times. If you have a good finish, it could be a magical second half.
Who would have thunk that the AL West would have 3 50-game winners so far?
And one of them not being the Angels, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's been a good division, and Seattle's been done their part. I'm commending your Mariners.
Fellas, listen to me. Don't fall off on me right now.
After all this praise.
Yes, don't fall off. What was Jay? Jay said 75. I can't remember what our preseason.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Below 500.
Yes.
But they're right tracking now, above. And again, a big 4-game set with the A's starting
a tip
tomorrow.
My hat to you, gentlemen.
And it is your Mariners hat.
Oh, of
course. You got
course.
Your Kraken draft going
on
right
I'm
now.
I'm just living my best life.
A lot of Seattle love. And Chris wants no part.
No, as long as he doesn't touch his microphone, I'm all right.
All right.
You give me a Canucks jersey.
Yeah!
Oh, almost made it. All right, let's get the crossover from the morning show.
Do we have to?
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave
Do
Show?
It?
Let's find
Do
out right
it?
Now with the crossover.
Do you believe it?
Here's today's crossover.
Crossover question for Jason and Doug. Now, by the time you're hearing this, we will have already returned from our company get-together this afternoon. But I want you to be honest and pretend like you never went and you don't know anything, because here's my question. At the company get-together, I will be asking our market manager, the big guy, the biggest of guys, I will be asking him to play one round of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a multiplayer game, with me. This is a bonding event, and as you guys know, odds are he'll say no, but my question to you is this.
Excuse me.
Do you think I can get him to play? I think I can. Oh, I live for those moments. Do you think I could get him to play? By the way, sorry about Papa Shot, Doug. By the time you're hearing this, I will have beaten you this afternoon.
Okay. Well, a couple of things.
I also beat Doug in Papa Shot.
Yes. Today. We've confirmed all that. The answer is no, because the biggest of bosses did not make it down there. But
I'm sorry. I thought I was supposed to.
Oh, no, you were not there.
Oh, you're not talking. You weren't. Oh, that's not me. Okay.
But if we're talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm just saying now, Jason.
Yes, we need to talk to the person and persons that took the game down. Jay, you and Angie?
Yes.
Was it a combo?
Took it down,
combo
Jay?
Combo plate and a little bit of love from Pacey.
Hold
okay.
on for a
second. He played a level or so.
So, hold on. You beat the whole game?
The first time I've ever done this, me and Angie, who's our sound extraordinary, hear voices.
Apparently
here.
A ringer in this game.
Yeah, she's the ringer.
Okay. Really?
Me and her beat Ninja Turtles game. The Ninja Damn. Turtles game. First time I've ever done it.
And Dave was there. He wasn't involved in this.
No, he wasn't part
oh,
of it.
Oh, who were you? Michelangelo?
I was Michelangelo.
I figured
she
as much. See, I didn't even know.
And Pacey jumped in there as Leonardo sometime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you defeat, like, what happened? You just got to the end and, like, you're
yeah,
the winner?
Yeah, you beat Shredder. There's, like, 3 Shredders jumping around and you beat them. which I had never seen before.
So and you
I
conquered the game. High school.
So do you get game, to do you get to like put your name?
No, we you didn't, which was the big deal. We didn't get to insert our name into it. You know, it just gave you like so many kills. I was probably at like 200 and some odd kills.
Okay.
You got to remember it's unlimited.
Slides? Yeah, GP.
Unlimited.
Rain Man.
Redos.
Man, oh. Don't be telling secrets.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Well, you still did it.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter, man. You made it through.
We went through it. There were other. There's other people who have not. Now, I would say this. We were trying to estimate, and I've played Turtles game many years. Never beat it. Never gotten to the end.
It is a quarters eater.
Yes, absolutely. And so I would venture to say that we probably would have spent about $25.
Oh, you did that many redos?
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's that hard. I mean,
it's super hard.
Yeah. Listen.
And how many levels is that?
It's not Donkey Kong hard.
Four or five, I think.
You made it through, man.
Yeah, never. I've never seen the end of that game.
That's cool.
Got it out the way.
Like, we were trying to conquer, me, you, and Chris. We're playing off-road, and we were doing great.
Yep.
But I was like, it's the same track again. And we kind of just got tired of it.
Yeah, like, what? How do you beat
Where's
this
the
game?
End?
You know, we were trying to figure out how we beat this game. By the way, off-road brought back a lot of memory. I have to buy one of those.
That was fun.
So if anyone is offering off-road right now.
For a nominal fee.
For a nominal fee. Put it on a text line, YouTube. I'm interested.
I was waiting for
the
Dig Dug challenge. I was waiting for you, DC.
They have it?
They had Dig Dug.
Wow. So this spot got all the oldies.
We're not even going to talk about DC, man.
And if we're going to talk about like how well we did at games, I took Jason to the woodwork in NFL Blitz and NBA Jam.
NBA, we had a good game in NBA Jam. Certainly football, you were annihilating me.
He tap danced on you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Was it the only game he played as a kid and he's good at it or something?
No, he was good. I don't know.
NFL Blitz, I made him a Tay.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
My goodness. I mean, that's how serious it is over there.
Yes.
I started like to get on a blitz, but I didn't. The NBA Jam, when I got on it, someone had a pump fake. They were on there, and they were getting smacked.
That was us.
We had a three-player game.
A fourth?
Two. Or, well, one of the positions, we couldn't get a start. So it was like, well, we just thought it would restart,
yeah,
and then
wouldn't.
We realized it played itself, and then we need to let the whole game go. And
okay, so I was like, someone's porting.
That was
I think.
Us.
Yeah,
it was
like,
just playing.
Okay, someone pump faked and dipped.
I got some Frogger in, Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Miss Pac-Man.
They got Whack-A-Mole and all that type of stuff?
No Whack-A-Mole, man.
Okay.
Pinball.
Yeah. I did a little Street Fighter action.
Hey, they got the little rolling bowling
Ski-Ball.
Thing.
They didn't have that.
I didn't see Ski-Ball. Yeah.
I was Q-Bert.
I was on Terminator
Q-Bert.
Game. Q-Bert. Quite a long time.
Wow.
Terminator till my wrist started hurting.
Yeah. Sonya down the way.
You see, baseball player, he sprained thumb.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He was at the arcade, lad. Get it.
DC, Sonya was down there getting the high score in, what was it, Galaga?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was helping that
I like
up.
Galaga, yeah.
Yeah.
So Asteroids in the house?
It was there. Yeah, it was there. I didn't play it, but it was there. These
games where it got like four games on one or each one.
No, it was the original game. Yeah.
Gangsta.
No, Neo Geo.
Okay.
That was Neo Geo. It was kind of like that.
What was the name of this place?
Coin-Op. K Street.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been there
a while. Our boss, he was playing Street Fighter. Then I saw him jump over to Mortal Kombat. Then he jumped on his phone. So I'm like, hey, boss, man, I saw you over there playing that Street Fighter. Yeah, he was diving into some code. I said,
he was
Googling plays
and
stuff. I said, oh, okay, I could dig
looking
that.
For intel.
Yeah, he couldn't remember how to do some of the moves via arcade, which is understandable.
Yeah.
It gets a little difficult.
Well, we had a good time. We hope you guys had a good time with the show today. We are back tomorrow again, Golf Hour 2 to 3, then our show tomorrow from 3 till 6. Make sure you check out Carmichael, Dave, and Jay Mars in the morning. Until then, have a great rest of your night right here on Sports 1140 KHGK.
See you.